This podcast replay is brought to you by EssentialMovingExperts.com. 5-star rated. 25 years of experience in the moving business. Family owned and operated. They offer free 30-day storage. Fully licensed, bonded, and insured. Mention the Big O and get $150 off. Moving was never so easy. EssentialMovingExperts.com.
So you know that is you, right?
That is.
You know that is you, but it's photoshopped. Look at your legs, bro. Look how funky your legs are.
That's not me.
They photoshopped you, bro. That's all. It looks like you.
It looks like me.
Bro, the body, the hair. It looks exactly. But it's a photoshopped picture.
It's not me.
Your legs are cut off, bro. Like, you have no knees. So really, we can't use you as a running back this year, unfortunately. So listen, you lost your knees in that picture, bro. I mean,
I was so stunned and shocked that people have spent years thinking that was a picture of me, but it's not a picture of me. I would never, ever a day in my life wear Nikes with the white check. Black shoes with
I don't know what the hell is that. What's Frank Wycheck have anything to do with this?
I always thought that was. I mean, I looked at it closely, and it looks like Larry Fitzgerald, but it could also look like Dalvin Cook.
No, Fitz is a little slimmer than you guys. Sorry,
bro. It's all good.
That guy looks like a linebacker. Yeah, that guy looked like Omar Kelly. Not Fitzgerald. No. But clearly it was photoshopped. I mean, I looked at the legs and I'm like, come on, bro. This is like, you guys can't even do a good Photoshop, at least, to try to mess with the man. I mean, come on.
Did it in 90 seconds, which is I looked at it. I didn't pay attention to any of the other stuff. I'm like, is that me? And, you know.
Well, I looked at it and I go, God damn, it looks like him, you know? And you're like, okay, give me some earrings or a tattoo or a watch or some other thing that you can tell. Okay, see, it is him. And then I saw your legs and I go, oh, this is probably him, but they just photoshopped it. And that's what I looked at.
I realized the initial picture wasn't me was, one, the shoes. I would never wear those shoes. And two, the luggage, I've never owned that luggage. And I was thinking to myself, where's the book bag? Because if I travel, I'm traveling with a book bag.
Right.
And I like, literally, that's the only reason I really concluded that's not me, which is weird.
That is awesome. All right. You want to tell all these fools out there that they're not going to bring in DeAndre Hopkins? Stop already with that shit. Can you, tell them out there?
Of everything, that makes no sense.
Right.
One, it's out of budget. Two, there aren't enough balls for the players you presently have on the roster.
Can you imagine Cedric Wilson seeing that? Going, shit, dude, really? Come on, I'll never see the light of day now.
Literally, Big O. Nobody on the team gives two shits about Cedric Wilson.
I know, but can you imagine being him? And then they add another receiver. That would be just absolutely crazy.
No matter who they add, he's still going to be here because he's got $5 million.
Right, of course.
So it is what it is.
Wait a minute. We've signed Marcel Adamon. Oh, we've signed Marcel Adamon to a one-year deal and released wide receiver Braden Johnson. So the Bills signed a receiver. There you go. Yeah, not DeAndre Hopkins. They don't have money either, bro. And he wants money. That's the other thing about him.
Hold on. Anybody can have and get money if they want to have it.
No, but not the kind of money he wants. You got to really have some space.
You'd have to think he knows. Understand, back when I was working with I Am Athlete, this guy had been trying to get out of Arizona since before the season ended.
I know.
He was calling us to come up there and interview him before the season ended, trying to get out. So I think it's not a situation of this is about money. He just wanted out. He wants a new situation. I think he's going to be QB cherry picking and try to latch on with a short-term deal to get back to the table to get more money from somebody.
He's 31 in 5 days, dude. There ain't no latching on nothing, bro. He's done. Whatever deal he gets here, that's his last one. He ain't getting any big money.
I think this is a short-term deal. Look at damn, if Odell Beckham just got ridiculous $15 million, DeAndre Hopkins should be able to get that.
By the way, Michelle Kaufman is reporting Phil Neville has been fired by the Inter Miami club. How about that?
Damn. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, in a way, because really the people above him are more fuck-ups than anything else. They're the ones that have put him in a terrible position. So what they're doing now in Inter, I know what they're doing. They're playing the bullshit PR game, make him happy, whatever, for the moment. But it's a disaster what they've done.
You always got to have a fall guy, baby. That's one thing I've learned 15 years in this business. There has to be a fall guy. Somebody's got to fall on the sword.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the people who are responsible.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that they did it, but whatever. It takes the pressure. It's LeBron James getting his ass kicked in the Western Conference Finals and saying, "Well, I may retire," and that way you can don't talk about me getting my ass kicked. Just talk about retirement. It's kind of let's throw out the shiny object so we can keep you busy, you know. And that's kind of what Inter Miami is doing there by firing Neville.
It's brilliant, which is, you know, hey, in the sports world, if you can do, look over here while I steal the money out your pocket.
Right. Yeah. They do it in everything, in politics too. They do it in everything. Absolutely. They try to get your attention somewhere else.
Society, this generation of society, we have a short attention span.
Big time.
So
big time.
We will fall for that. Like, I bet you can't even remember what you read or were all obsessed about 2 hours ago. Like, what were you obsessed about at noon?
What was I obsessed about at noon? Food. I'm fat, bro. I'm fat. Fat people are obsessed with food all the time. So at noon, I was thinking food, you know?
What's the best date spot you know in South Florida?
Oh God, I'm not good with that. I've been married for nearly 30 years.
I don't mean you can't. You're not supposed to be taking her out.
I take her out, but we don't do that dating stuff. That's like, you know, it's like
she doesn't want to go for it. You love food. That doesn't mean she doesn't want to go to Komodo, and do it big, and do the, you know, or to Joe's Stone Crabs. I hear it's oyster season. So I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what my game plan is. Am I going to Garcia's?
But that's Garcia's is fantastic, but not necessarily romantic.
I agree. But see,
you asked me like, I go to Garcia's all the time. I'm as romantic as it gets, man. Thank you, Omar.
No.
The smell of fish, honey, and the canal. Yeah.
Spots, but. You need a good date spot. I'm trying to figure out. I'm doing 2 months of prep work for my wife's birthday.
Hey, somebody's got Dairy Queen there. You know?
Who?
Dairy Queen. That's, you know, get a heart-shaped a cake at Dairy Queen and share. And stay away from the hot dogs, of course, because I don't have good experiences with Dairy Queen hot dogs. That's for sure. What can I tell you?
I'm not eating it.
I'm a brave soul. You know, I'll tell you what. I like the sushi place in the Hard Rock.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Kimono, Kohuo, Kono, Kuno. I don't know what the hell it's called, but that one. That's a nice place that I can take my wife, and I think it's, you know, decent place, nice romantic type of place.
Okay, I will keep that into consideration. Yeah. I think it's Komodo.
Komodo.
Not sure I've ever been, but I'm up for it. I'm game.
It says Omar giving tips to romance to Big O is like Biden explaining the debt ceiling. Yeah, yeah, it's pretty accurate.
Hey, man,
it's pretty accurate.
I know I'm on my second marriage, but I'm pretty good at this dating thing. Romance. I got that on tap.
Okay. All right. See, so where are you taking her? Finally.
I'm figured out, but her birthday's in July. I'm just like doing some planning right now, which is why I'm like asking people around, like, what's a good.
How about Monty's? Down in the Grove. It's got a seafood. You're right on the water. You could take a walk there. You know, that's
I don't think it gives birthday dinner vibes, but you know.
What gives birth? What's that place that I go to? In Merrick Way. It's a really nice restaurant over in the Gables, Merrick Way. Yeah, just give me a list of Merrick Way restaurants in Coral Gables. And that's that new area that they created, that there's a whole bunch of restaurants and bars and things like that. There's one there. I forgot the name of it. Huh? Is it an Italian place? There's a place there that I go with my wife. That's really nice. You been to that place in Gables towards the end of Ponce de Leon?
I
you know what I'm talking about, Merrick Way?
Yeah, I do, but I'm not down south that much anymore.
Oh, okay. So. All right. Well, that's one area that I definitely would go to. All right.
That's
so people
north for you. That's north for you.
That's way east for me, actually, because way west, bro. I'm close to Chrome Avenue, dude.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's it. Z-A-C-C-A. That's it. Zuka, is it called? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Zuka. That's the one. Anyway, people are asking, because today, obviously, a lot of money was freed up. Mm-hmm. Okay, so forget about the whole DeAndre Hopkins or even the Dalvin Cook story.
No, we can't forget about Dalvin Cook. I like the Dalvin Cook story.
Yeah, is he going to take a $3-4 million deal?
No, but
okay, so you can forget about Dalvin Cook.
He might take eight. You got eight.
They're not going to give him eight. They're not giving him money. If he wants to sign a low-end deal here, then they're open to it. If he wants to sign for money, he's going to go somewhere else, Omar. They're not paying him. They're not going to pay him. They're not going to pay a guy that much money, so then he's part of a rotation. And then at the same time, you're going to be pissing off other people, too, in the process. Because all of a sudden, Mostert, Wilson thought they were going to be, you know, the centerpieces. And now they're going to take a backseat. Because if you bring in Dalvin Cook, everybody takes a backseat to the guy.
Yeah, but you know what? If you do bring in Dalvin Cook, and I'm a supporter of it from this standpoint. I think, and as I said from the very beginning, we had these discussions 2 months ago. You add an elite back to this team, you are a Super Bowl contender. That now, while I'm not really comfortable with a lot of areas on your defense still, I do believe that you have what it takes to be a Super Bowl contender offensively. Without Dalvin Cook, I think you have a chance to be a Super Bowl contender.
You fix the guard and the tackle spot. That's what makes you a contender.
You know what? And I'm watching, and I know there are no pads. I think that they've got enough athletes to figure it out. And I've seen this stat that people keep sharing around on social media of year two in this offense with Mike McDaniel. Everywhere that they've been, they've drastically jumped up in terms of rushing efficiency and rushing production. And that's encouraging. That's something that's good to see. And you hear guys talk about, year two, I understand the aiming points and all this kind of stuff, but then they've also got a new coach. So I think that there's room for discovery. But with the guys that they've added, from Dan Feeney to Cedric O to Isaiah Wynn, they added 125 starts to the team. Like, that's a ridiculous amount of starts. Now, do I think that all of those guys will be healthy, effective? No, I don't. But I think you got 125 games of starting experience in that batch. Somebody should be able to get the job done at one of these positions. And I honestly can say I like what I've seen from Austin Jackson in terms of this condition and shape that his body's in. I think his mentality, the sense of desperation is there. He understands where he is. So does Liam Eichenberg. These are the guys they got to perform this season, or they're going to be NFL journeyman, veteran minimum guys for the rest of their career.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But again, these guys, you're right. They're not as worried as the rest of us are, you know, and that's the amazing part when you talk to them. Okay. So having said all that, now let's get into reality now, because some people may not be completely satisfied with the O-line. Some people may not be completely satisfied with the D-line. Some people may not be completely satisfied with the linebackers. Is there anything at any of those levels available in free agency that you think Miami should get, and who is it?
Absolutely. There are a batch of linebackers.
Who?
Rashad Evans, Miles Jack. There's the kid from that was with Dallas last year. He played for somebody else. You're give me a second, because I have written all of those names. There's the defensive lineman from Tampa Bay who has had monster seasons under
Hicks.
Akeem Hicks.
Mm-hmm. He played in Chicago with him. Yes.
With Vic Fangio.
I can't believe they paid him $8 million last year. That's a lot of money, bro.
Oh, he's a good player.
Is he still a good player?
I don't know that. I would not offer him $1 million.
Eight million.
Yeah, I would not offer him $8 million. I still like Melvin Ingram, even though I don't really think pass rusher is really a need.
You gotta cover in this defense. You have to be able to cover.
Yeah.
That's the problem in this defense. He's done. You have to be a two-way player here. And that's my problem with Miles Jack, that he's a little light in the ass and he's not a thumper. And I think he has a little bit of the Jerome Baker issues. And I think that's been kind of his issue also. So I'm not sure.
Coverage guys, I will acknowledge that. Quan Alexander, I don't know if he's signed yet, but I've been obsessed with him for years, and they've never taken a sniff at him. And I really did like Rashad Evans. I don't know if he's the coverage guy that you need. But honestly, linebacker to me is my very top need right now for this team. It's when I've watched two practices now. David Long has not participated in either of them. He's tiny. He's already hurt.
Why is he hurt, or is he just resting like a bunch of the other veterans?
No, he's hurt. He's rehabbing. I'm not going to speculate on what he's rehabbing, but he's rehabbing something because he's working with the rehab crew. Okay. So, and that's all good. But, you know, are you comfortable with, like, something happening to David Long and Duke Riley and Jerome Baker, your two starting inside linebackers for 8 games this season?
No. Okay. No. But so I'm sure that's a problem. I'm sure that's an issue for a lot of teams if they lose their starting two linebackers, you know, in the middle. Okay. That's going to be a problem for a lot of teams. And again, I don't know what you have behind you. I don't know if Cameron Good is going to take a step forward. I kind of liked him last year, actually.
Cameron Good is an outside guy. I'm talking about the inside guy.
Okay, but has he been used at all inside in this scheme? Have you seen him at all? Has he been used inside in this scheme?
No, he has not.
Okay.
And Channing Tindall,
it's another one we need to see. Now the pads have to be on so we can get a good feel for what these linebackers really can do. You're not getting anything in OTAs. You know that. At the moment,
you can see read and reaction time.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, but it doesn't still equate to making the play. And that's absolutely what you need to see with tackling and everything else going on and hitting. Is you need to see them get through the traffic and break tackles and make tackles and all those kind of things. So you just don't get to see that in OTAs the same way. But that's definitely a concern on linebacker. How about on D line or O line? You talked about Akeem Hicks. Anything else that might be intriguing at O line or D line? You think?
No, there's nothing out there D-line wise, except for Akeem Hicks, that intrigues me. I will say this as well. Safety is a concern for me, and maybe it's a concern because I'm not seeing anybody who plays the position actually out there. but that would be nice. Hell, just give me Trill Williams back there. I heard Trill Williams is supposedly making that transition to playing safety, and I'd love to see it. I'm curious. But right now, it's just a bunch of cornerbacks out there and playing safety, and it's all right, except for Javon Holland, of course. It's okay. But, you know, are we really banking on your guy, Brandon Jones, being completely healthy for the start of the season? Is that what we're doing?
He should be. He's had enough time to rehab and be healthy. My bigger concern is because I know how much cover, like we just talked about the linebackers, coverage is so important in this defense because that's how he Fs with the offense. That he changes the looks, but that's because a lot of the players that are on there are very versatile. And okay. So that's where Brendan was making the steps forward as a coverage guy last year. He was showing improvement in that area, but it's just not improvement what you need for Fangio. You've got to be really good. And so that's the part that I don't know. Is he going to make it from making the improvement to being what Fangio needs? I don't know. And I think that's why you're seeing Vernon McKinley a little bit in that mix too, because I think Vernon is a guy that actually has really good cover skills. So you're going to see some of those other cats trying to battle in that position at safety.
If Vernon McKinley is your answer, and no,
I'm just saying he's one of those guys. I have to look at the roster at all those.
Yeah, they got Elijah Campbell out there.
Right, Elijah Campbell's the other guy. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, if that's your answer, nah, we not good there.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. It's super early. But you got Deshaun Elliott, you got Brandon Jones, and you got Trill Williams. And neither of them are practicing right now. Hopefully one of them gets in there and actually is actually good.
I talked about this hypothetical the other day. So I'm going to play the hypothetical with you that it could become reality. So what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're the Dolphins. And now you're Vic Fangio. This is your only year with him. But everybody else is seeing him now for three, coming into the fourth year. Raekwon Davis. So you've been around long enough, and you've seen it, and I've seen it. You've seen the guy that really kind of coasted or didn't live up to it or was terrible for the first few years. And then that last year, that contract year, the magic. It comes all together, and he plays his ass off. Now, Raekwon has not been a bust. He hasn't been a waste. He's kind of been, like, just there. He hasn't been special. So what happens, Omar, if this year he becomes special and disruptive and all that kind of stuff that you want him to be, and all of a sudden he wasn't that for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So what are you paying? Are you paying the guy that is bamboozling you? Or are you legitimately paying a young man that has finally blossomed?
I call it play for pay, baby. And sometimes everybody's got to play for pay. I'm playing for pay right now.
Yeah, so but we play every year. We bring it every year.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Okay. And you know it. You've seen the guy that just got his contract and then went back to being the dog.
We're not talking about Jordan Phillips.
No. Like, no, but it's funny. He turned into a better player after he left here, after they got rid of him.
He was always a good player.
Yes. You're right.
I think I've told you a story about, you know my history with Jordan Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wanted to beat my ass and all kinds of stuff. After I basically said he was loafing at practice one day, he got all in his feelings, challenged me, and then practiced like he was name was Ndamukong Suh or Aaron Donald. And the coaches came up to me after practice, coaches, multiple, and thanked me because I lit a fire. Now, this is the year that Adam Gase eventually got tired of his crap and waved him.
Right, yeah.
And the day that he challenged me to a fight on the field.
Well, by the way, which is nothing out of the norm. You can explain that to people. There's a lot of these guys that have that watershed moment that when they get cut or whatever, somebody finally calls them out or whatever. What finally wakes them up and get, that's what happened to Chris Carter. He got cut. He got cut from the Eagles, and he was shit out of luck. And then they gave him one final chance in Minnesota, and the rest is history.
Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
My point was, Raekwon Davis is not Jordan Phillips. This isn't he's loafing. He's not pushing.
No. He's just underachieved. He's just underachieved. That's all.
I think more than he's underachieved, and I'm planning to write this and address this. I think more than he's underachieved, he's been miscast. I think that Raekwon Davis is not a nose tackle.
Oh, you think he's an end?
No, I think he's a 4-3 defensive tackle.
Oh, okay.
And asking him to be a nose and take on two defenders as opposed to being head up with a guard and pushing the guard into the backfield and becoming disruptive. I think that's, even though that's the scheme he came from, a 3-4, I personally think that he's been miscast. And I think that he has a chance, because I've seen the two practices I've seen, he's gotten into the backfield and had a sack. Now, Connor Williams is basically saying, I'm not practicing until you show me the money. So, you know, you got nothing there at center. So, you know, keep all of this in context here. But I personally believe that if you used him head up in the same similar role that you use Christian Wilkins and Ryan and Zach Sealer, I think you get better production out of him. You're taking him off the field on third downs. You're basically saying you're just a run stuffer. You're taking up two blocks. And, yeah, you're not going to get a lot of production out of there. But from last season, he was a major success because the run game average was very low. They were like fourth in the league against the run. So, you know, that means that he is doing his job. I'm neither a proponent or supporter or whatever. I just personally believe that I've heard this from people inside the NFL. He's too big to be a nose tackle. You have to play with leverage and get underneath these centers and guards to do what you need to do. And he's 6'7". He's a massive man.
Now, wait a minute. You said, Connor, give me the money. You think that they're going to do it now? They're going to...
If it were, because
I didn't think they were giving him any money this year. I thought he was under contract that you probably...
I don't think they will either, but if it were me...
Okay, no, because you're like, do you know something I don't know that he's like, know. You know, like... You know,
if it were me,
okay,
he would be the guy that I'm focused on spending my $13 million on. Because...
Well, no. That's right. You're not a Wilkins guy. That's right. Okay.
Oh, my God. Don't do that. Don't do that.
You don't want to pay him.
I am not a Wilkins guy. I'm just not paying him $18, $19 million a year.
That's what it goes. It's what it goes for. You think I wanted? You think I wanted to see? Well, I didn't even want to see him drafted, but you think I wanted to see him pay Ryan Tannehill $17 million at that moment? No, but that's what the damn market goes for. What are you gonna do, bro?
I'm sorry, and I like Christian Wilkins.
He's awesome.
I really do.
He's awesome.
He's awesome. He's phenomenal.
Yes.
Is he an impact player?
Hell to the yeah! Yes, he's an impact player. He's a monster impact player. He disrupts shit all the time. We just were talking about the guy that doesn't disrupt things enough in Raekwon Davis. This guy does a lot of disrupting. Hells to the yeah, dude. Yes. I'm a big Wilkins guy, bro. And by the way, I'd like Raekwon to be a little bit more like Sealer. That's all I'm asking.
What's more like Sealer?
Disrupt a little bit more, make a not just hold up, but make some plays too, man. You know, do a little something there from that position. Do a little.
Maybe those guys, and I don't know this because I'm maybe they're eating off his plate, the plate that he sets for them.
Like Tim Bowens. I got you. Maybe I know, but Tim Bowens was in a 4-3, so it's different. It's like, you know,
and I think.
Now you might be onto something here. Here, let me run something through that you and I may really not know. Like, Tim Bowens knew his role. He loved it. He excelled at it. And he knew that he wasn't going to get a whole bunch of sacks or he wasn't going to get a whole bunch of stats, that he was holding up a couple guys so Zach can then, you know, roam and do his thing, which I'm sure when Zach goes into the Hall of Fame, Tim Bowens will be there and will be mentioned in the speech. I guarantee you that.
Who's Zach's presenter is?
I think it was Jimmy. Right? Is it Jimmy that's doing it? I think. No, that was for Jason, right? Jimmy did it for Jason, right? I don't know. You know what? I don't know who. He didn't, yeah, but didn't Jimmy do Jason Taylor's thing, I think? Yeah, I don't know. You know that? Now you mentioned that. I don't know if he's mentioned who's going to, you know.
I'm very curious who his presenter is going to be.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a good question. Well.
We all know Tim Bowens.
Yeah, he's not a talker. Yeah, so it's not. Yeah, Tim. It's Jimmy.
That was the shortest Hall of Fame induction speech ever.
Yeah, yeah. It should be Jimmy. Really, it should be Jimmy.
Why should it? Why does it
happen? Bro, because Jimmy recruited him. Jimmy drafted him. Not only that, the story is so amazing because he brought Jack Del Rio with him, thinking, okay, you'll be my middle linebacker, start my defense and all, and they go draft his fifth-round pick. Yeah, and in the first week of training camp, he turned to Jack and said, Jack, I got to let you go now so you can try to find a job because I got my starter. So
you know the conversation I'm going to have with you right now, and this is you're going to enjoy this. Your listeners, they might not. You remember my first year as an intern in 1997 was the Uteel Green year.
And by the way, Jimmy Johnson will induct him. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Excellent. Phenomenal. That was – you know what turned me on to covering I always wanted to cover the NBA. But you know what turned me on to covering NFL?
What?
The training camp in 1997, Jimmy Johnson. Remember when we used to eat lunch with the players and there was like ribs and lobster?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, this is like, imagine me as an intern and I'm like, okay, it's lunchtime. We're going to go over to the golf course and eat lunch with the players. And literally, there's like steak and ribs and lobster and whatever you want. This is daily, people. But anyway, outside of that experience.
And that ended.
Yeah. And just being there. We get fed pretty well here.
Yeah.
Just being there when Jimmy would, you know, do his mind Fs to the media that, you know, to send the agenda and seeing the behind the scenes stuff. And then hearing Dan Marino at practice. I remember I was there, the Uteel Green practice.
Oh.
Remember?
Yes, I was there.
And this is me as an intern. So this was like blew my mind. Uteel Green, the first round pick, this is his first practice. He's running deep. He's wide open. Marino throws the ball to him, drops it. Running wide deep, wide open. Marino throws the ball to him, drops it. Comes back to the huddle. And we hear this. We literally hear this because they let us be on the field and practice.
Yeah, we're right there on the sidelines.
Marino says, if you drop the effing ball one more time, I am never going to throw to you ever again.
Yeah, that's who Marino was. Yeah. Once he didn't trust you, you were done, bro. You were done.
Next snap, Uteel girl runs around, wide open. Marino throws the ball to him, drops it, tears his ACL.
Yeah. Yeah. I still remember the day of the draft when he tells, you know, no more tears and pulls. And I'm like, I'm laughing at Jimmy inside going, bro, did you watch him at the University of Miami? Because at that time, I would bounce back and forth between the Dolphins and the U. Mm-hmm. And so and back then also in the U, we could stand on the sidelines all four quarters.
Remember that? I could go in the damn huddle if I wanted to.
Back in the day, up until I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, they changed it or something like that.
Yeah, it was changed. Randy Shannon changed it.
Oh, figures. Anyway, so I know somebody changed it, and you couldn't go. You know, you had to wait till the last 6 minutes Randy of the. Shannon.
And we could watch every second of practice. They had nothing to hide.
Yeah.
And you knew who could play and you knew who couldn't play.
Right, right. No, it was great. God.
And that was a different era. That was back when they were actually good.
Terrible, bro. Terrible. Terrible. All right. So overall, everything else looking good. Everybody looking in pretty good shape and nobody looking out of shape or anything like that. No injuries that might be a concern or anything that you could talk about.
Oh, David Long. I'm definitely concerned.
Okay.
He's small, bro. I don't know if you like. He's small.
I haven't seen him up close, so no.
Oh, he's small.
I know you've told me that a couple times already.
And I see now why Tennessee was like, yeah, we're good. There's going to be some injury concern because that's a very physical position.
Yeah.
So that position has me concerned. I told you I'm concerned about safety. Obviously, your top three guys are kind of out. So,
by the way, is Long thick?
No.
Okay, because you know Zach wasn't big.
No.
And he's going to the Hall of Fame. And yes. Sam Mills wasn't big. You know, there have been a lot of linebackers that aren't necessarily big guys, but usually, like Ray Lewis wasn't a big linebacker. He wasn't like a tall linebacker, but he was a thick linebacker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's how some of those guys offset it. You know, like
I say this to help people understand and put it in context. Jerome Baker's your biggest linebacker.
Yeah, that's not big enough. Yeah, that's a problem.
That's not big enough.
Yeah, no, it's not big enough. Jerome's tall enough, but not thick enough. Right.
No, Jerome Baker is your biggest linebacker.
Yeah.
And if you look at contextually, Jerome Baker's a small linebacker.
Right. No, you're right. Yeah, he's a weak side guy.
So yeah. So it does have me worried, a little bit concerned, but they don't seem worried. So, you know.
Yeah, because in this scheme, I think your linemen are going to do a lot of the work along with probably your outside backers. Your middle backers might be.
That's good. That's great. But they're going to be plays. They're going to be 200 plays for those inside linebackers to make.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's 200.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's 200. Yeah. I can count on Jerome for 100. Yeah. But he's averaged 102 tackles.
And still the tough inside stuff. That's the real challenge for those kind of guys. That's the real challenge. The tough inside runs.
I'd be way more comfortable if they added another body. Chosen Anderson looks like an NFL starter still. That's encouraging to see. I like what Braxton Berrios is doing. I think he moves quite well. Drops into the zone. You know Braxton Berrios from UM.
Yeah, he's a
you
shifty dude. Does. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what he does.
Yeah, he's perfect.
He's perfect for what this offense is. So receiver-wise, I'm pretty good. Tight end, it's all right. It's a little, you know.
It's all about getting Higgy with it and Tanner Connor. It's all about that. One of those two guys will be your playmaking tight ends.
No, I don't agree with you on that.
Okay.
I think it's going to have to be one of the veteran guys going to have to step up.
Those guys will be serviceable. Yeah, the guy that brings you the big plays, that's where they want to get one of those two guys. And I think it's getting Higgy with it. When it's all said and done, I think getting Higgy with it is the one that's going to win the battle between those two guys.
I am going to be very curious to see what happens.
Has he looked good, by the way? Has getting Higgy with it looked good?
He's okay. He looks like he looks like a rookie.
Okay.
And he'll probably look like those. You know who is looking good? Woo! Mitchell Agudé.
Oh, okay. All right.
And that's one guy.
There's your linebacker, bro. You wanted some linebacker help. There you go.
Outside linebacker. I'm talking to the inside linebacker. Okay. Come on, man.
Well, they're not going to play him at all inside?
No, he's an outside guy. He's okay.
I don't know. Maybe they're switching him around a little bit. Give him a chance. I don't know. They're kind of loaded at outside linebacker. They've got like two guys that are werewolves. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, maybe they move.
No. They need an instinctive. They need a Zach Thomas. They do. Absolutely do. They need a Zach Thomas.
Everybody does.
Alonzo, Carlos Dansby, Danelle Ellerby. That's what they need.
God, that would be nice. That would be really nice. All right. Follow him on Twitter at Omar Kelly. Catch his work there at Sports Illustrated. Remember, alldolphins.com right there. Once you bookmark that, that makes you an official Dolphins fan. Oh, have a great weekend, my friend. We will catch up next week. Thank you.
All right, brother.
Got it. There you go. Omar Kelly.